Scripture reading for this evening comes from Psalms chapter 100. Psalms chapter 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Knowing the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
Good evening, everyone. It's great to see everyone back this evening. I said earlier in class today, what a beautiful day the Lord blessed us with. Beautiful blue sky and sunshine. The colors are so vivid and bright. Just helps us realize how blessed we really are. You know, God has thought of everything. Nothing has escaped. Nothing has escaped him or his attention. We spend our whole lives trying to catch up to his thinking. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, Paul writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways." When we think about worship service, when we come to worship, there are times maybe differing views or thoughts that people have when they enter into a worship service. You know, many see it as a very precious time, a very special time to be able to worship God, to praise Him, to spend time with and fellowship with our fellow saints. Some may view it with maybe apathy, more out of a necessity, a duty, rather than a privilege and an honor to attend. Unfortunately, others may just see it as interrupting what they'd rather be doing. But worship service is a special time that God designed for us. In His wisdom, in God's wisdom, He designed His worship so that everyone involved, receives a blessing. And so this evening, I want to think about God's blessings, the blessings of worship. And I want to discuss four of those this evening. First, in worship, Christians bless God. Number one, in worship, Christians bless God. David wrote in Psalm 122, verse 1, he said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" David expressed gladness in going to the house of God. But why? It was because of the one who he was going to meet there. Four times in Psalm 122, David mentions the Lord. Hebrew would be Yahweh, sometimes it's translated Jehovah. It's the most common name for God in the Bible. By one count, it appears over 6,800 times in the Old Testament. It's the name God used to make himself known to Moses. You recall the story in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, when Moses was asking God, who should he say that sent him to the Israelites to rescue them from Egyptian bondage? God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'" This name identifies God as the eternal, self-existent one. The primary reason we come to assemble and to worship, in a word, is God. God blesses us all week long. And each first day of the week, we come to bless Him. To bless the Lord means to worship Him, to praise Him, to thank Him for who He is, what He's given to us, what He's done for us. We honor His name. We praise His character, His deeds, those things He has done for us. We express our gratitude to be called by His name, to be part of His family, to be saved by His grace. The Old Testament frequently uses the phrase, bless God. Bless God. In the 103rd Psalm, David begins in verses 1 and 2 saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. This psalm focuses on our praising God with gratitude for His goodness toward His people. In its 22 verses, there are actually 23 expressions of redemption for which praise to God is to be given. You know, reflecting on psalms such as this, I think really help us to focus our mind going into a worship service. It helps us to remember the attributes of God and specifically what God has done for us. It should fill our hearts with thanksgiving and reasons to give glory to God and to praise His name. And that psalm specifically gives us things, mentions things such as forgiving our iniquities, satisfying us with good things, His compassion and His graciousness. How about renewing our strength, being slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, His mercy. Looking back just a couple psalms before that in Psalm 100, our scripture reading for this evening, the psalmist writes, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. There is a song in our songbook which I did not give to Tim this evening, and I probably should have. All the people that on earth do dwell is actually written based on this psalm. It's Psalm number 17. This particular psalm, Psalm 100, has two distinct parts, verses 1 through 3, and also verses 4 and 5, the second part. Each half of that psalm begins with an exhortation to worship God, and then is followed by a reason for offering our worship to God. In verses 1 through 3, the first reason the psalmist provides is because He is our Creator. He is our Creator. In verses 4 and 5, the psalmist tells us the second reason is His loving kindness or His mercy that He has bestowed on us and the faithfulness to His children. You know, when we consider all that God has done for us, if we sit and contemplate and meditate on all that God has done for us, how can we but help come before Him with thanksgiving? How can we not come to Him being so thankful for all that He has done for us? And when we come to worship, it's to give God a blessing. It's to give God a blessing. And you may be thinking there, sitting, what could we possibly give to God, the One who has everything? What could we give to God? How about our hearts, our devotion, our time, our songs that we sing, our gifts, but our praise? You know, if we withhold these from God, God does not have them. God does not have those. We bless them with what He desires when we worship, not only in the way in which God has instructed us, but also with the right attitude. In John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. So in worship, we know Christians bless God. Secondly, in worship, God blesses Christians. God blesses us as Christians. We should have known that God would not let us bless Him without also blessing us. Assembling for worship allows us to provide or receive special blessings from God. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 20-24, God was addressing the Israelites regarding offering sacrifice and worshiping Him. God said, "I will come to you and bless you." Today, and since we're so near Thanksgiving, I'll use this phrase. So today, Christians leave worship with a cornucopia of blessings, right? An abundance of blessings. We receive spiritual refreshment in worship. Every time the doors open for worship, God is awaiting us when we're spiritually hungry, we're spiritually thirsty, we're weak, we're tired. He provides us that spiritual food, water, strength that we need to leave refreshed. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus invites each poor and needy, those souls that are longing and need rest. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The outside world differs from the church, and we know that. Because the world lives contrary to how God wants them to, the world can be our challenge. The world can be our challenge, but the church is our refuge. Being a part of the body of Christ provides us a refuge. The Hebrew writer says that within the church, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. As Christians, God is our refuge. He provides us rest. He provides us security. The worship service is where we draw strength from God and from other Christians. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 tells us as Christians we can cast all of our anxiety on Him because He cares for you. What we see there in that passage is that God loves us. He's watching over us. And He's protecting us. You know, God also uses His Word to refresh us in worship. Hearing God's Word produces joy in those that love Him. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, Jeremiah wrote, "Your words," and he's talking about God's words, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And Your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart." Isaiah 55, verse 2, God is speaking to him, says, "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance." The truthful proclaiming of God's word satisfies us as we eat what is good and we allow our souls to delight in abundance. Just think how much of God's Word is referenced and used in a typical worship service. Bible phrases and concepts are used in prayer and in songs. The Bible's quoted and comments are made in preparation for the Lord's Supper when we're preaching God's Word. Each service allows the Word of God to richly dwell in us, according to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Our souls are refreshed when we hear and we meditate on God's Word. In worship service, God also provides us instruction and motivation. You know, proclaiming God's word was given a very prominent place in the early church. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, Luke records, "And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Hearing God's word saves those who believe in every place and in every generation. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the message that was preached to save those who believe." Paul wrote again in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17, a very well-known passage to us. He said, "For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report?" So listen to Paul's concluding statement. So faith, belief, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. God's word tells us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Sound teaching allows listeners to gain a greater knowledge of doctrines that solidify our faith, increase our confidence, and our resolve. The bottom line is the Bible strengthens us. It builds us up. In Acts 20, verse 32, it says that God's word is able to build you up. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, Paul writes that God's word is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. You know, a good worship service has a tremendous effect on our resistance to temptation, our prayer lives, as well as our evangelism efforts during the week. So we see that during a worship service, Christians bless God. God also blesses Christians. But in worship, Christians have the blessing of fellowship with each other. You know, as Christians, we're on a personal journey, but we don't travel that journey alone. In establishing the church, God provided a built-in support group, a spiritual network, if you will. Like-minded saints meet each Sunday, and that fellowship brings us gladness. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, Luke writes, "Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart." You know, in worship, perhaps more than any other time, Christians enjoy the closeness of fellowship. There's just an appeal. There's a power in associating with others in prayer and in praise to God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 133, verse 1, he states, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for our brothers to dwell together in unity." You know, there's added strength in asking for God's protection and celebrating God's love together as a body. We all come from different families. We have different points of view on things. We come from different backgrounds. Yet through all of that, we all gather to worship the Lord in unity. We come to worship the Lord in unity, exhorting one another to love and to good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, we come together as a body, we gather around a common table to remember the Lord's death and celebrate His resurrection. The church is a body where we care for others, and others care for us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And the love that we have for other Christians is demonstrated through our forgiveness, through our tolerance of non-doctrinal matters, maybe petty disputes or disagreements, through restoration when other Christians need that. God has blessed us richly with fellow Christians who can help us on that journey in heaven and being able to spend time together in worship with Him. And finally, in worship, there's the blessing of encouragement and spiritual growth. Encouragement and spiritual growth. Attending worship allows for that fourth blessing. It allows those blessed by God to bless each other and even the guests that attend with us, even before we leave the worship assembly. Christians encourage and edify each other by the power of their influence and their voices. Attending worship sets an example for good for those around us. You know, Jesus tells us on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, we ought to let our light shine. We have to let our light shine. Attending worship certainly falls under that. In singing, we teach and we admonish one another. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. There was a deaf Christian who was asked why she bothered to come to worship when she couldn't hear the songs that were sung, couldn't hear the sermon that was delivered. Listen to her response and think about it, what her response says versus maybe a response we might give. She said this, though I cannot hear, I come to God's house because I love it. And I love the service, and I wish to be found in His ways. And He gives me many a sweet thought upon the text when it is pointed out to me. Another reason is because I am in the best company, in the most immediate presence of God and among His saints, the honorable of the earth. I'm not satisfied with serving God in private. It is my duty and privilege to honor Him regularly and consistently in public. It's a very powerful statement made by someone who can't hear like we can. And their joy, and they see the blessings of a worship service. We also have those that are younger, and maybe those that have put on Christ in baptism. Worship provides them an opportunity to learn more about God and what He expects from us. You know, disciples are taught and are baptized in worship service. So attending worship service contributes to saving the lost. Those individuals observe what takes place, and they learn about scriptural worship. They listen to the sermons and learn more about God's Word. They watch how others are worshiping, and they learn about devotion and love for God. They listen to the words of the songs and learn about praising God. The more worshipers that are in service, the greater the combined enthusiasm. But we can see that there's a tremendous blessing in worship and how it encourages and teaches future disciples. So while we're commanded together to worship, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, Worship should be a delight, a privilege, an honor to praise God, not a duty, not a requirement. It allows us to bless and be blessed at the same time. Everybody involved, God, members, guests, everyone leaves with a blessing. That's because God designed it that way. God designed it that way. This evening, we have not talked about becoming a member of the body of Christ. We certainly have talked about a blessing that we have to worship as a body of Christ. But there may be those here this evening who are ready to put on Christ in baptism. They studied, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the only way to be reconciled back with God. They're ready to repent from their sins, confess that Jesus is their Lord, the ruler, He's the Son of God, be immersed in the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. There may be others here this evening, just haven't found the joy and see the blessings in worship. They're just struggling with that. Or there may be other things they're struggling with in their lives that are just maybe taking away the joy of being a Christian. Just ask that if there's any way in which we can help you this evening, just ask that you come forward now as we stand and sing our invitation song.